website for free at Wix.com. That's W-I-X.com.
Each and every weekday morning at 6:50, Scott Crothers from Stifel Nicolaus gives us insights into the financial markets and investing. To get your own personal financial review, call him at 314-292-6201 and tune in weekday mornings at 6:50 on the Big 550 KTRS.
Trust the highly trained tax professionals at H&R Block to get you every dollar you deserve. Make your appointment at hrblock.com. Get your billion back, America.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on the rain, but I'm not afraid. This rover,
thank God it's Friday,
crossed over. If I ever have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris, your 20% host, giving 100% of the effort. And Ian and Dan are here with me. And later on, Bill Cleveland and Joe Hipperson and Mike Evans and the Harris Challenge and Knuckleheads in the News. And if we have time, the story of Dan's broken toe.
Oh, boy.
And Jay Leno's last night. And the debacle in Sochi at the Winter Olympics. But if you'll indulge me for just a moment, I'd like to start with a personal story. A couple of years ago, I was doing a poker radio show with my friend Dennis Phillips. We did the show for about 3.5 years or so. And one of the reasons we stopped doing it is because Dennis had moved to Las Vegas, and it was kind of tough to do the show in two different cities. But in the third year of the show, I was contacted by some people involved with some movie makers. A man named Ryan Fleck and a woman by the name of Anna Boden. They're a couple. And they have made a few movies, and they were going to make a new movie with a poker theme, and it was going to involve some scenes here in St. Louis, and the plot of the movie was going to involve a couple of guys who are kind of road tripping it from here down to New Orleans, where they were going to play in a big poker game, and along the way they were going to have various adventures and tell various stories. And so I met with Ryan and Anna, and I sat down with them for, I think, 3 or 4 hours one afternoon. I took him to one of the local casinos here and showed him the poker room and told him stories about poker games that I had been in, both in casinos and in home games over the years. And they liked some of the stories. Anna was taking notes on them. And we had a very nice time, and they're very talented. I had seen a movie that they made 3 or 4 years ago with Zach Galifianakis called It's Kind of a Funny Story, which was a pretty good movie. I liked it, and so I knew that I liked their work. And then after meeting them, I put a couple of their other movies on my Netflix queue, and I watched them, including the one that kind of put them on the map back in 2006. It was their first movie that got all sorts of awards. It was called Half Nelson. It starred a then-unknown Ryan Gosling. They kind of discovered Ryan Gosling, and they've discovered a few people over the years. And I think the movie with Zach Galifianakis was one of his first movies. It was right before Hangover.
Wow.
So they've got pretty good reputations, and they're pretty good storytellers, and they write and direct their movies together. So I said goodbye to them at the end of that meeting a couple of years ago, and they left me, you know, their email address and their phone number, and I gave them mine, and they said, you know, stay in touch. And I said, well, yeah, let me know how things go. I thought, well, this will be really cool if anything that I've given them ends up being used in a major motion picture. 6 months go by. I haven't seen or heard anything, so I emailed them and I said, "How's it going?" And they wrote me back and they said, "Well, we're working on the script, and we liked a couple of your stories, and we're going to try to work them in there. We'll let you know." All right. 6 months go by after that. I email them. "Well, we finished the script, and now we're looking for financing, and we're going to kind of start the casting process." "Oh, okay, great." Another 6 months go by. Now we're up to last summer. I email them again just for an update. I'm not, you know, I don't want to nudge them too much.
Right.
I'm just curious what's going on with this thing. And they were, like, really close to starting the movie. And then I didn't hear anything for several months until early December, when they emailed me, said, "Hey, just wanted you to know, we had a casting change, but now we've locked in the people that are going to be in the movie, and we're going to start shooting it in New Orleans at the end of January and in throughout the month of February. And if you're going to be anywhere in the area, we'd love to have you come by the set and say hi and whatever." Well, I had some miles on Southwest so that I could get a free flight to New Orleans. Not really free anymore. You still got to pay the $5 or $10 fee, but whatever. And I looked up cheap hotel rooms down there near where they told me they were going to be filming it. And I booked a room. And on Monday, I went down there. And not only were they inviting me to the set, they had something for me to do.
You have a part?
Hey!
Do you have a part in the movie, or do you have, were you like a consultant or something like
that? No, I'm a featured extra.
Whoa! Hey.
Which does not mean I have any lines.
Oh.
Means, unfortunately, I got paid the same amount as the other extras. And I knew from Dan telling me about his experience on Up in the Air,
right,
that being an extra on a movie, or even, I guess, being a star on a movie, means a lot of downtime.
Yes.
You told me how boring it was just sitting around doing nothing.
Yep.
Well, the good thing about this was, during the downtimes, it was shot on a riverboat down there called the Creole Queen, which is a paddle wheeler that goes up and down the Mississippi down there and gives people tours. You know, you go out for an hour and a half or 2 hours, comes back to dock. And they had rented this whole boat, and they were using it. It was a night shoot, so I flew in there middle of the day Monday, and I had to report to the set like 4 o'clock that afternoon. And go and they told me to bring some clothes. I brought a suit and a shirt and a couple of ties, because that's what they told me that my character would be wearing, and shoes. And thought it's ridiculous that I have to wear shoes. I'm going to be sitting at a poker table. No one's going to see me. Let me wear my sneakers. But, you know, I didn't want to make a fuss.
Right.
Well, how hard is it for me to take shoes with me? Okay. So I go there, and I get there about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And you got to fill out paperwork. Oh, you were right about the paperwork and the waiting, Dan.
I know. It's nonstop.
When Dan did Up in the Air, I remember he told me, at the end of the day, you think to yourself, I didn't really make that much money.
No. Not that much money, and there's a whole, whoa.
Oh, the paperwork's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, but I go, I fill out the paperwork, and then they say, okay, come on over here. Let's talk about what you're going to wear on the set. What did you bring? And so I showed him the stuff, and I had brought the only suit I own.
Yes, that's for weddings and funerals.
Yeah, I had joked to them, if I'm wearing this suit, people think somebody's dead or getting married.
I know.
That's
I have one suit also.
That's it. So I brought a blue dress shirt with me and a couple of ties. Well, they didn't want me to wear one of their ties. The character was going to wear a bow tie. If I wear a bow tie, I better be wearing a tuxedo. Because I don't like the bow tie look. For me. You know, some of you guys may like it. I don't particularly like it. But, again, I'm not going to make a fuss. I'm going to be in a movie.
That's right. You're playing a character.
Now, here's the funny thing. I bring with me a blue dress shirt. She looks at it and goes, no, try this one. And she hands me an identical blue shirt. The only difference is mine has button-down collars. Theirs does not. Otherwise, exact same color.
Wow.
Whatever. Fine. So I go and I put that on and I get dressed and, you know, you kind of sit around for a little while and then come up for a rehearsal. So the holding area for the extras was on the first deck of the boat, the bottom deck closest to the water. And they're shooting the scenes on the second deck. So we go up there and they're rehearsals. And the stars of this movie are Ryan Reynolds and Sienna Miller.
Wow.
Hey.
Who is beautiful in person.
I'm trying to think.
She's been in a few movies, maybe nothing you've seen. I during a downtime, I mentioned to her how much I had liked her in a movie with Steve Buscemi called Interview, which was essentially just the two of them.
She's very hot.
And she, you just looked her up on
yes.
Google? Yeah. I told her I liked that movie, and she said, oh, you're the one who saw it. So I get to the set, and Anna and Ryan are meeting with their cinematographer for a moment, talking about something, and they're setting up the cameras. Which, again, Dan had told me, that's what the most of the time is, setting up the cameras and fixing the lights.
Yep.
So I, because of Mr. Strauss, I knew what to expect. But Ryan and Anna finally came over and said hello to me and thanked me. And I said, you know, thanks for this opportunity, whatever it turns out to be. I'm 100% sure I'm going to end up on the cutting room floor, although I think that phrase might be a little outdated because it's all digital cutting now.
Yeah.
And, you know, same thing. And I said, you know, whatever, it's fine. I hope you used a couple of the stories that I told you. And she said, as a matter of fact, we have two of your stories in the movie. And she mentioned what they were. I'm not going to tell you what they are. I'm not going to give away anything about the movie. But that's pretty cool that they'll be in there.
Yeah.
And so after she tells me what the stories are, Ryan, her partner, says to me, yeah, thanks for writing our script. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, you know, I'll just take my back end percentages. No problem.
Yeah.
So then we eventually go into a rehearsal, and there are probably about 60 or 70 extras there besides me. And they're all dressed kind of formally, which is not like any poker player scene I've ever been in real life. Not one hoodie in the room, Ian.
And sunglasses.
Not one. No, nobody wearing headphones.
Yeah.
Nobody in jeans. Nothing like that. I think that what it was is that the scene I shot actually in the movie will take place in St. Louis. They're going to come after they finish shooting in New Orleans. They're going to come to St. Louis and have like one day of shooting exteriors, including, of course, the arch and the riverfront and all that stuff. So they rehearse us, and the rehearsal begins with a scene of Ryan Reynolds walking into the room, and the camera Steadicam follows him, and they shoot that, I don't know, a half a dozen times. And in between, there's a discussion about, okay, I'm not privy to that. I'm just sitting at one of the tables. Well, it turns out that the person who's the designated poker dealer at our table is a real poker dealer. He's not just an extra. He deals at Harrah's in New Orleans, and in fact, 2 years ago, was named the Poker Player of the Year at the World Series of Poker.
Whoa! Wow.
So he's really good. And some of the other people who are at my table are local poker players from New Orleans who've been invited by the guy who's their poker advisor, their technical advisor for poker, plays down there. And he had invited some of the people he knows to come and be. So there are actually a bunch of us who know how to play poker at this table where my scene is going to take place. And we have fake chips. I mean, you know, there are chips in front of us. They have no value, but everybody's got chips. So somebody has the idea to tell Tim, the dealer, get some cards.
Yeah.
Let's pretend we're really playing
while
here.
While we're down, yeah. While we're waiting.
And that was the thing that saved me, Dan, from the boredom you told me about in your scenes.
Playing poker.
Yes, we had something to do.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we actually could play it out. And, you know, there were times when people would make silly moves. There were a few people, who, extras at the table, who didn't know what they were doing at all. And as the hours went by, those people were eventually removed from our table before the scenes were shot because they wanted it to look as realistic as possible. So I get involved in a scene with this other actor, a guy, an Australian actor by the name of Ben Mendelsohn, who, again, I'm not going to tell you any much more about the plot of this movie, but he's kind of the co-star with Ryan Reynolds and Sienna Miller. And there's a young actress by the name of Anna Lee Tipton who's in it also. I don't know anything about those two people, but my scene is with him at this table. And when you see a scene in a movie, you know, you know that there had to be multiple takes because they shoot it from all sorts of multiple angles. The scene I was in probably doesn't last more than 90 seconds. It took 10 hours to shoot.
Oh, yeah.
10 hours. They had to shoot him coming into the room. They had to shoot her looking at him, glancing at him. Now it's a reverse view of him and her. And now he's in another part of it, and now we have to shoot it from that part. And then finally they get to our table, and they've got to shoot this guy, Ben, who's opposite from me at the table, and they're shooting with two cameras right next to each other, and they're right over my shoulder. I mean, so much so that if I move a half inch to the left, I bang into the camera. And I was actually getting a little bit claustrophobic at one point because they really I didn't realize how many people it takes to operate a movie camera, to get it set up and to get it in place. They had to put down boxes with rails on it so that the thing could
slide
in for a shot to get a special, not a special effect, but whatever it was that they wanted to have that camera move do, that they have to build that. And so they're building it right next to where I'm sitting. And at one point I talked to this woman who's on the camera crew named Penny. And not that it's unusual that a woman be on the camera crew, but that's her name. I turned to her and said, "Can I stand up for a second?" She said, "If you move, you're going to knock everything over." Wow, okay.
You actors.
Forget it. But you I have to go to the bathroom.
No.
Extras.
There were designated breaks for that. But now, because she tells me I can't stand up, now I think to myself, okay, well, legs, don't cramp up. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not a lot of room under there because now there's equipment underneath and everything around. And it was very odd because now I have to act with this guy, but I'm not on camera. But I've got to give him the other half of the scene that we're shooting so that he has something to react to. And that goes on for probably a dozen different takes. And in between the takes, Penny or one of the other camera assistants, not the cinematographer or the director of photography or whatever they're called, they have these tape measures that they're always bringing out to measure the distance from the lens to whatever it is they're shooting. Do you remember this from yours?
Oh, yeah.
Like if they're shooting this guy, this actor, Ben, okay, well, Ben, when you lean back in your chair, okay, what's that measurement? Okay, well, now lean forward. Okay, well, what's that measurement? Okay, he's got a pile of chips in front of him. How far is that? Okay, and now they got to do this for two cameras. And at one point, I'm just kind of sitting there. I'm not doing anything. And I hear somebody say, "How far do you push your chips in?" And I don't answer because I don't know they're talking to me. "Sir?" Well, I never answered a sir. Finally, they say my character's name.
Are you a script writer?
And I turn and I go, "Yes?" He goes, "How far do you push your chips in?" And I said, "Well, kind of like this." And as soon as I get them to where I would put them, three tape measures come out. And they're measuring that. And they're adjusting lights and all that stuff. And again, I was fascinated because I've talked before about how much I love process. I love to see how things happen and how they work and what goes on behind the scenes of all this stuff. So I was really, really into this. Plus, during the downtimes, we're still playing poker back and forth.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Everybody at the table is there. So then after they finish shooting the stuff over my shoulder, now they got to shoot me. And so they have to break everything down and put it on the other side of the table. And now we have to sit there while they set it up. Now, here's the
makeup.
Not a lot of makeup,
no?
Actually. No.
Powder?
Most of the hair and makeup work was done with Sienna Miller because she has beautiful red hair and she's a beautiful woman. She needs makeup. Me, bald guy, they spray some to make sure that my bald head doesn't reflect the lights too much.
Yeah.
And they're pretty much done. You know, the woman comes over, "Sir, close your eyes and cover them." "What? Close your eyes and cover them." "Shh." "Okay, you're done." "That's it?" I wore more makeup. Remember when I used to do the thing on Channel 4 every night for the 6 o'clock news?
Oh, yeah.
For like two years.
Yeah.
And when I was on with Larry and whoever his co-anchor was at the time, Vicky, I wore more makeup to do that TV thing every night than I wore in a major motion picture here.
Yeah.
But I noticed that most of the other people weren't wearing a lot of makeup either. So, okay, that's fine. So then they finally set it up, and now they're going to shoot me, which is kind of weird for a couple of reasons. One, I've done lots of TV. I've never done a movie. Here is a movie camera, two of them actually, that are kind of zooming in on me and moving in on that rail to get even closer. And here's the other thing. Right before we start shooting the thing with me, one of the other extras at the table says, "All right, Paul, here comes your big scene." Which I think, well, that's nice that he noticed that. But I then realized what I really heard there was jealousy.
Uh-huh.
Because there are all these people around in this group of maybe 60 extras in this room. A lot of them are professional extras.
And they're not going to be in the scene, probably.
Well, they're going to be. They're just going to be background.
Yeah.
Which is what they call it in the movie business, right? By the way, you're not an extra. You're background.
Yeah.
And they're all going to be in there, and they're going to be at the table or seen in the background or a reflection or whatever that is. But I'm the one that the camera is going to push in close on, and my ugly face is going to be 40 feet high at the Werenberg Theater. So I sense a little bit of that in the room, and so I then start thinking about the people who are there who are doing this. Like, when you did it as an extra, you did it one day?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, did you think to yourself, I could not come back and do this again and again and again?
Or, no.
Or did you want to do it more?
I didn't think, I don't think I wanted, I didn't want to do it again.
Because these people who go in there and do 10 hours of this, where they don't really get to do much of anything except sit there and pretend.
Yeah.
Or if it's an action movie, you know, the monster's coming, run down the street, come back, run down the street, come back, run down the street. And you do that for 10 hours, then you come back the next day, and now you do the same stuff again, over and over and over again. And you know how much they get paid for a day of that? $88.
Yeah, it was
Figure
nothing.
That out. That's $8.80. There are people at Wendy's making more.
We did every time the scene. Okay, let's go back to the beginning. Everybody go back. Everybody
back
has to go back to their starting point.
Right, back to one. Here
yeah,
we go.
Back to one. Back to your starting point, and then, okay, action. And then everybody starts going.
Right.
It's like, okay, stop.
Now, here's the difference between St. Louis and New Orleans. How many times do we get a major motion picture coming through St. Louis? In the 15 years that I've lived here, I think we've had maybe two.
Yeah, we had
Up in the Air,
but Escape from New York was...
That was a long time
ago. Yeah, they did that on the Chain of Rocks Bridge, and then White Palace they did.
And there was a movie a few years ago starring Aaron Eckhart that filmed downtown, but it never went anywhere.
Yeah.
And really, that's about it. Well, in New Orleans, these extras get work a lot. You know, there was that HBO series Tremé was filmed down there. I wrote down some of the stuff that these people had worked on. There's going to be a new the movie that Joe Hipperson liked with De Niro and Stallone, Grudge Match.
Mm-hmm.
That was done down there. Planet of the Apes, the remake, was done down there.
Wow.
In the next few months, there's going to be another Jurassic Park movie. They're going to do it down there. There's going to be another Terminator movie. It's going to be done down there. I'm guessing that the state of Louisiana gives Hollywood companies a big tax break.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So they come down there. Plus, in New Orleans, you figure, you know, 12 months of the year, we're not going to get iced out and snow and all that. And I actually was looking forward to going down there because I knew it was going to be, you know, 10 degrees here, and I figured, well, it's going to be like 60 or 70 in New Orleans. Incorrect. Never got over 40 the whole time I was there. But, okay. So I'm thinking about all of this and all these people who are in the room, and most of them are older, 60s and 70s. And so they're retired, and so they don't have much else to do. But how can you be a full-time extra making just $88 for each time you do it? And you're not, it's not full-time work. It's not like you worked every day this week. Those extras may have been in one or two nights on that boat, and then they're done. But you can't have a full-time job if at night you're going to have to go shoot for 10 hours.
Right, yeah.
They should have an extras like Academy Awards or something. And now for the best person coming down an escalator.
Did you ever see the Ricky Gervais HBO series a few years ago called Extras?
No.
He played an extra who desperately, desperately wants to get on camera more and be a star. And all he wants to do is have a speaking role. Just one line. Because I asked somebody, you know, if I had a line in this movie.
Oh, you're getting paid a lot more.
He said, well, SAG minimum, the Screen Actors Guild, the union, the minimum would be $750. And I thought, well, I'm going to say all in.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
That's all I'm going to do. But then, of course, they cut it out and they don't pay me.
Yeah.
So the whole thing, as I said, took 10 hours on this boat. The other good thing about being able to sit there and have these people around was, you know, because they're poker players, some of them have gone to the World Series or had stories about poker games that they played in, and I certainly have stories, and so there was all that, as opposed to some of the other extras who kind of sat in the holding area and read a book or looked at their Kindle or put on headphones and kind of just sat there, sometimes for 2 or 3 hours, nothing to do. Boring. But the reason it was great for me to have something to do was I get seasick.
Oh.
And here I am on a paddle wheeler on the Mississippi, and it's a little bit windy outside. And from the moment I stepped on there, I thought, I have made a grave error here. Because I could feel the motion down in that holding area. But up on that second floor with stuff to do, my mind was, you know, engaged in other things. So it didn't bother me at all. So that was a good thing. So the movie's called Mississippi Grind. And I asked Ryan and Anna, the writers and directors, you know, what the timeline is for a movie like this. And they said, well, Monday, when we shot this thing, was day five of a 28-day shoot down there. They'll do 28 straight days down there. And then they're going to come to St. Louis. And I think they said they have to go to Mobile, Alabama and Biloxi, Mississippi to shoot some other scenes because it's a road movie for these two guys. And I said, and then what happens after that? Well, then we have to edit it and score it and, you know, all the stuff that goes into finalizing a movie. And I thought, okay, well, how long can that take? And then we'll enter it into some film festivals and, you know, hopefully we'll get into Sundance next January.
Next January. Yeah. I remember.
And then, and by the way, if it goes to Sundance next January, that doesn't mean I get to see it at a theater here next January, or you do. No, it's probably like 6 months after that before it comes out. And I thought, I could never do that job.
Oh, yeah.
After the immediacy of radio, I think of something, I say it, you hear it as soon as I come up with it.
Yeah, it was like that with Up in the Air. Up in the Air, they were here, then they were going to Vegas from here, mm-hmm. and somewhere else, and then it seemed like it took forever for this thing to come out. And then the band, there was a band that was at the wedding scene down mm-hmm. at the Cheshire.
Yeah.
And they rented out Ronnie's. They rented up out the top, and they had a huge party. And stuff, and they ended up not making the movie.
Oh, they were cut out.
Yes.
Oh.
And they didn't know it. And they had this huge party for everybody, and then they were cut out.
See, this is why you have to take the Paul Harris attitude towards life. I'm 100% sure I'm going to be cut out. There will not be a premiere party.
Yeah.
I will probably go see it. Maybe I'll take my wife. Maybe. And we'll go see it, and we'll watch the movie, and I'll hope it's an entertaining movie. But if I'm not in it, I can't be disappointed because I'm not expecting any more.
Yeah.
But I do want that credit at the end.
And I thought,
I want that special thanks to Paul Harris. That'd be nice.
I thought at the time, I'm not going to be cut out of this because I'm in a scene with George Clooney.
Mm.
Who's going to cut that out? And it's an important scene in the movie.
Yeah.
So, and it wasn't. It wasn't cut out. So you can see me for about 2 seconds in the background texting.
It might be longer than
I
guess.
I know.
Let's take a break. We'll come back in a moment here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
All right, here's a non-movie star, Tim Weiland, to fill you in on some traffic.
Nice. Nice.
Non-movie star.
Yeah.
Boy. Hey, Tim.
Wow.
Well, Paul Harris.
I'm glad I'm that starstruck because you guys, I'm telling you.
What? Oh, yeah. Well, you know.
You want an autograph? Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, really force it upon
me. Why don't you talk to our people? We have people now.
Our people.
Yes.
I thought Paul was going to have a joke there when he goes, you know how many people it takes to run a movie camera? It sounded like the beginning of a joke.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right. Hey, on southbound 270, you've got a stalled vehicle. It's just a little bit south of the Clayton Road overpass. Looks like we're just slowing as you go by that area. Northbound 55, that right lane is slowing now midway between 44 ramp and park up to the Poplar Street Bridge. Eastbound 270 at Riverview, you've got a little bit of heavy traffic as you go over the Chain of Rocks Bridge, and eastbound 70 slowing from St. Louis Avenue to the Edward Jones Dome. This traffic report is brought to you by Argosy Casino Alton. Argosy Casino Alton surrounds you in real casino action, from the hottest slots and tables to the best in dining and nightlife. That's my kind of fun. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
The Big 550 celebrates unsung Black American heroes, people you may not have heard of who help make our way of life possible.
Hi, I'm Kelly Jackson. The next time you're on the internet, thank Philip E. Mogwally.
He was a math whiz who came up with the formula for allowing a large number of computers to talk to each other. He won the Gordon Bell Prize in 1989, considered the Nobel Prize of Computing, and is hailed as one of the fathers of the Internet.
Despite Jim Crow, separate but equal, quotas, restrictions, and being treated as second-class citizens through most of our history, Black Americans have contributed so much to our American tapestry. Stay tuned during February as we celebrate Black History Month on the Big 550 KTRS.
It's a sad reality that in St. Louis today, we are in the grips of a heroin epidemic. And it's not the 50-year-old lifelong drug addict that's addicted. We're seeing high school kids. We're seeing college kids from middle-class backgrounds getting hooked up and addicted to heroin. Where do you turn for help? ARCA, the Assisted Recovery Centers of America. Because at ARCA, they use a drug called naltrexone and Vivitrol that was approved by the FDA back in the 80s. This drug was designed specifically to help with drug and alcohol dependency. It's non-addictive and it blocks the cravings. The results are nothing short of amazing. At ARCA, now covered by most major insurance carriers, has inpatient and outpatient counseling that is designed specifically for the addict and to get you back up on your feet. To find out more, 314-645-6840. That's 314-645-6840 or ArcaMidwest.com.
This is Steve Light.
And I'm Greg Gonzalez.
We're with the Retirement Income Consulting Group and host of the Retire Worry Free Show with Steve and Greg. Whether you live in St. Louis or 100 miles from St. Louis, when you get ready to retire, we're your go-to guys. You know, retiring is a huge step with huge concerns. We know you're concerned about health care. We know you're wondering how you're going to replace your paycheck. We know you're not exactly sure if you should start your Social Security at 62 or 66.
Are you signing up for the best pension option? What are you going to do with your 401k savings plan? We know what you're thinking. I hope I don't outlive my money. How do we know all this? Well, we know this because we work with people who are getting ready to retire every day. People just like you. And before they met with us, those were their concerns too.
So if you're planning to retire this year, call our office in the Chesterfield Valley at 636-530-9977 or visit our website at ricg411.com. It'll be the start to a worry-free retirement.
Securities offered through LPL Financial Member FINRA SIPC.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story of how SelectQuote goes to bat for you buying term life insurance. A while back, a man called me who had had prostate cancer. He asked if I could beat a very high quote another life insurance agent had given him. I said, let me see. Well, I took his pertinent information, then shopped the highly rated, price-competitive companies we represent, and found one who pre-approved him for a premium way below what he had been quoted. When it comes to term life insurance, no other company touches SelectQuote's experience and expertise in finding the right policy at the right price for almost anyone. How about you?
For your free quote, call 1-800-400-4216. That's 1-800-400-4216. 1-800-400-4216. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop. You say.
While I was getting educated at Washington U, I met a young redhead who said her family had bought a Byerly trailer. It turned out to be one of Walter Byerly's originals built in 1954. For 20 years, the family had traveled through 47 states. I had a 1951 Studebaker. What a perfect match. Eventually, my Studebaker and the old Byerly were hitched up, and we set out on a three-week adventure through the western states. But that's another story. And by the way, the trailer and the Studebaker weren't the only ones that got hitched. I married that redhead, and we've been fellow travelers for over 30 years. It all started in a Byerly RV. Why not see what you can get started in an RV from Byerly in Eureka?
For the rest of your life.
Byerly Trailer.
For the rest of your life.
Byerly Trailer.
Discover your family. Show them you care
for the rest of your life. Gotta be there.
Byerly, just 15 minutes west of I-270 on I-44 in Eureka.
If you like real love songs the way they used to be, this is Tony Viviano, and I would like to invite you to the Four Seasons Winery at the Four Seasons Country Club in Chesterfield for the best Valentine dinner dance in St. Louis.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me.
It's called In the Arms of Love on Saturday, February 15th. There'll be two seatings, 5 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. up until close. My band starts at 5 p.m.
Oh, the shark, baby, has such teeth, dear. And it shows them.
Enjoy this exquisite dining experience.
Back in time.
Plus dancing to the Tony Viviano Band. Oh, that's me, as I'll be singing the classic love songs. For reservations, call 636-956-6266 or visit FourSeasonsWinery.com.
Okay, you ready? I'm gonna let go of the bike now.
Wait, not yet, Dad.
No, just keep pedaling. You've got it.
Don't go, don't go.
There are moments in life that cause us to hesitate.
I already did. You're doing it.
Woohoo! I'm doing it.
But once we take action, we're awfully glad we did. Markets are changing, and interest rates are still low. If you're thinking about getting into the real estate market, now may be the time to make your move. Every market's different. Call a realtor today and visit Realtor.com. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Target Talk St. Louis is presented by the Belleville Indoor Shooting Range and Metro Shooting Supplies in Bridgeton. Join the conversation about firearms beginning every Sunday at 6 p.m. on KTRS.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, a retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Your love is lifting me higher.
Rita Coolidge. This is the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Ian's here with me. Dan is here with me. Although Dan really manning up for the show today, could easily have called in and got on injured reserve.
Oh, yeah.
Got a broken bone.
Yes.
What happened?
My little toe. My little toe on my right foot.
The little bitty toe.
I know, the little bitty toe. I was in the kitchen yesterday.
At what point do you stop calling it a pinky?
I don't know. The wee-wee-wee toe. Wee-wee-wee all the way home. I was in the kitchen. There's an island in the kitchen with the butcher block top on it and everything. And and I turned, and I'm like one of the most clumsiest people I know anyway.
Most clumsiest.
Yes, most clumsiest. I turned to just kind of walk, and I rammed right into the corner of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then after about 2 seconds of, what the hell did I just do?
Oh, the pain hits the brain.
Yes, then it hits.
hold on just a second. Let's just talk about this for a second. What is it about that moment where we've all done this, where you bang your toe, you can actually look down and you go, wow, that doesn't hurt at all.
What? Yes. Yeah.
No, you know it's coming. That's the problem.
Yeah, but that's why sometimes I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Wow, I really smashed that thing. This doesn't hurt. Whoa! You turn into Jackie Gleason. Whoa!
And then you string cuss words together that don't even belong together.
Yeah, you may not even curse normally, but they come out. No. You can't stop them.
I know. It's just like
they got a running start from the foot and they went all the way up and
yeah.
out.
Yeah, it's like suddenly you have Tourette's and you're just like blurting stuff out. And yeah. The dogs are looking at me going, What did we do? And I'm like, oh, crap. Well, my girlfriend, thank goodness, works for an orthopedic surgeon, so I went by there today.
What do you mean works for an orthopedic surgeon? Don't you know as an adult male what happens when you break a toe? There is nothing medicine can do to help you.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you could take a painkiller, and then you tape the toes together,
yep.
and that's it.
Yeah.
It's like when you break a rib. Don't even bother going to the hospital. Just wrap yourself up. That's what they're going to do.
I know.
All they're going to do for you.
Never broken a bone.
I never.
I never did until a couple years ago when I was on the phone with a client and I was walking through the kitchen and hit my other baby toe on the door jamb. And while I'm on the phone with him,
the curses start coming out.
Oh, my goodness. He's like, what? What happened? I said, I think I just broke my toe.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I broke my toe.
So when your girlfriend brought the stuff home from she works in an orthopedist office. So
what
was her advice for what you do?
I'll tape it up.
That's it.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing? We're in the 21st century. People have been breaking their toes for thousands of years, and we're still at the point where the only thing you can do is Tape it to the next one.
Yeah.
The one next to it.
And
I was
looking at it, too, and I looked at it after it happened, shortly after it happened. I thought, oh, it's not swelling up. It's not black and blue.
Yeah. Premature.
Yeah.
And I know. And then I tried to put some shoes on, and I walked around all day yesterday here at the station with my shoes off because it hurt.
Yeah.
So then I got home. We had our meeting last night for our trip, which, by the way, we leave on our trip a week from tomorrow. And I'm going to have this lovely boot on the beach, I guess. But I need to get another one so I can have two of them matching. And they're like sandals. I'm going to see if I can get the left one, too.
So that means no going in the water?
Oh, no, I'll go in the water. I'll take my...
You'll man up.
Yeah, yeah. I'll man up. I'll just...
Do a little body surfing, slam the toe into the sand, and good luck with that.
Yeah, so I walked around here yesterday, and my socks got dirty, and it's like, oh, man, it's horrible. We need to clean this place up. Charles Jacob was right.
Well, good luck with the healing.
Yeah, yeah, she said about 4 weeks for this.
Does this mean you will not be participating in any of the snowboarding at the Olympics?
Man, yeah, I was going to, but...
You and Sean White both pulling out.
Yeah. I know. Sean White's pulling out?
Yeah. He said something about the slope being style. Too dangerous, right?
Yeah, I think so.
In the thing that was on last night.
Did you see somebody skiing? They had to carry them off on a stretcher.
I've seen a couple of those.
Yeah.
It was weird that the Olympic opening ceremony, well, it happened today and NBC will air it tonight, but they had stuff going on last night.
That's what, I heard yesterday. Watched the Olympics tonight on, I go, wait a minute, it hasn't started yet.
I actually thought, well, somebody at Channel 5 is going to be in trouble because that promo is not supposed to be running today.
What?
And
I don't remember that ever happening before.
I may have. I pay so little attention, particularly to the Winter Games. I really think that the Winter Olympic Games are much more female appeal than the Summer Games.
Oh, I can't watch any of that ice skating.
Ice dancing, pairs.
But I'll watch the bobsled's fun, the skeleton, that one's fun. Curling.
I love curling.
Curling.
I love watching curling.
You love curling?
Oh,
I do.
Sure.
I do. I love watching curling.
It's like watching
though.
Giant shuffleboard.
It is.
I can watch it for a little
with
while.
With sweepers.
I love I like those guys and they get their feet out they look like Will Ferrell and Elf when he's getting on the escalator and they like slide down and slide that big old puck and
the rock.
Yeah, the rock, and then they're sweeping and stuff. It's pretty cool.
I turned it on a little for a little while last night just because I wanted to see what it looked like. And Bob Costas apparently got some sort of eye infection. And he actually mentioned in the intro, I want to apologize for having to wear the glasses and looking like this. His left eye was so red and puffy. He apparently got some sort of infection while
drank
he was over
water,
there.
Drank the water or washed his face with the water.
Yeah, he washed his face.
Yeah. Let's talk about that for a second, because a bunch of the journalists who were over there are tweeting about their horrible experiences. The water one is one of my favorites. A reporter named Stacy St. Clair tweeted, "My hotel has no water. If restored, the front desk says, quote, do not use on your face because it contains something very dangerous, unquote."
How are you supposed to take a shower then?
Well, then she tweeted a little while later, "Water restored, sorta. On the bright side, I now know what very dangerous face water looks like."
Hell yeah.
somebody
described it as a dirty urine test.
Yeah.
Or Gatorade.
Like. And then she tweeted, "Also on the bright side, I just washed my face with Evian, like I'm a Kardashian or something." One of the other people there, a reporter named Sean Walker, said, "I'm still waiting for preparations on my hotel room to finish. I'm hoping they're origami folding the toilet paper rather than, say, putting the roof on." Then he wrote, "I have a room. I have no heating. I have no internet, but I have a bed at least." Another one reported a water main break means no water at the hotel. Another one says, "I miss you, hot water."
No pillows.
One of them said she checked into a room and there was a dog on the bed.
A dog?
Can you imagine?
One that escaped the wrath of the dog killers.
You go to the Drury Inn and then you finally get in your room and there's a mutt on your bed.
And then one of the, one of the prime ministers or somebody there, one of the officials there said, Oh, this is exaggerated. These people are all lying.
Yeah, and we know that because we have surveillance footage. They're going in their room,
yeah,
and they're turning on their showers and pointing it towards the wall and then leaving for hours and blaming us when there's a flood in their room.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean there's a surveillance camera?
Yeah, yeah. Wait a minute. Are you guys Chuck Berry?
I've told the story before. I actually broadcast from the Soviet Union back in 1989 when it wasn't Russia, but it was still the Soviet Union. And when we checked into the room, there were two TVs in the room on the table, on the room, a TV with a TV on top of it. And all I could think of is, like, I'm Yakov Smirnoff here. I watch TV. Other TV watches me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
357 at the Big 550 KTRS.
All right. Here's a guy that's watching the highways. Here's Tim Weiland.
And you've got a crash done at Lilac. Another one, Highway 100, a little bit north of Highway 44. Westbound 40 now is slowing Kings Highway through McCausland. Looks like we've got a little slow stretch from 270 out through Mason. Southbound 270, looks like we're bunching up a little bit between Highway 40 down through the Clayton Road overpass where you had a stalled vehicle just south of there. On northbound 55, that right lane is slowing at Park to the Poplar, and it looks like we're just getting volume now between Lindbergh and New Florissant on eastbound 270. This traffic report brought to you by Argosy Casino Alton. Argosy Casino Alton surrounds you in real casino action, from the hottest slots and tables to the best in dining and nightlife. That's my kind of fun. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hey, it's Friday.
So what?
Well, tomorrow we're on the air again.
Again?
Every Saturday.
When?
Unless we're not here.
No, we're here.
This Saturday on the Inside Out Show.
This Saturday, we're here.
When you call in, you get information about either growing something, killing something, fixing something, rebuilding something.
What time do I have to show up?
11 o'clock to 1 o'clock every Saturday.
Oh, my goodness.
All the information you'll need to do stuff around the house. That's the Inside Out Show.
I'm Jim.
I'm John. We'll see you then on the Big 550 KTRS.
I'm working two jobs, and my husband works too. My kids go to school with your kids. I'm one out of every six Americans, and my family is struggling with hunger. I believe in this country, but it's hard to believe so many Americans have to choose between paying bills and feeding families. Visit feedingamerica.org and find your local food bank. Every dollar you donate helps provide seven meals for those struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Join in the fun this Friday and Saturday at the largest indoor yard sale at the Belle Claire Fairgrounds in Belleville.
You'll find some great deals with over 500 tables under one roof.
If you want to beat the crowd and get a sneak peek,
there's an early bird fee of $3 on Friday from 4 to 7 p.m.
On Saturday, it's free.
It's the largest indoor yard sale this Friday evening and Saturday till 2 p.m.
at the Belle Claire Fairgrounds.
Call 618-223-0052
or go to bcfairgrounds.net.
From ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston.